You're listening to a Day1.fm show.
Pick My Brain is the podcast where founders pitch me their startup and I try to give them some useful advice so they can connect better with potential co-founders, investors, media, and of course, customers. My name's Alan Jones and I was a founder myself for about 15 years, and after that an angel investor for another 15 years, so yeah, old. Some of my ventures have been successful and some failed disastrously, but I like to think I've learned a thing or two along the way, and maybe some of that can help you. So if you'd like to learn how to tweak your pitch, subscribe to the Pick My Brain show now, wherever you like to listen to podcasts.
Hi, it's Chris Titley here as part of the FinTech Fun podcast series. We're actually doing a bit of a deep dive on some fintechs that actually went to New York recently. But the first guest, we've got Gabor Sakernes from Appsium. Gabor, thank you so much for being a part of this little side hustle series.
Oh, so happy to be here, Chris. Thank you for the opportunity.
Appsium, let's talk about the business in its own right, the early days, how it began and where you're playing in and what sort of market you're in.
Absolutely. I wasn't at the very, very start of the business. Jeremy Coombe, our founder and CEO, started the business, but I was, you know, one of the first employees on. We were actually neighbors. That's how I joined.
Oh, there you go.
What he was doing, and I sort of became an investor slash employee. But, you know, Jeremy's idea was that he was working in the banking, lending, sort of structured finance environment. And his thinking was that while banks have great visibility into the financial situations of companies when they lend, non-bank financiers tend not to. So his initial idea was, how do I see into these systems that these clients might be using so we can get visibility around their invoicing and accounts receivable? So that was the first thought. And since then, the business has pivoted to where we are now. And you know, now we are very much a full end-to-end accounts receivable solution, very much specializing in the professional services environment, but realistically with much, much broader scope. And in Australia, where we started about 6 years ago, we work with hundreds of accounting firms, and we do have multiple solutions for them. One, which is what we'll talk about and why we were in the US, which is our accounts receivable payment solution. But we actually have a couple of other solutions as well. One is a disruption to a product called audit insurance. And then we also have some automated payments around ASIC renewals, which, again, it's a very Australian thing, but we're not looking to take those initially into the US.
Just on those products, and I've used them before or know of them before, having a PTY LTD. So audit insurance is obviously when there is an audit on your file and an accountant says there's an audit, there's extra work involved, and therefore you have to pay, like in any normal insurance policy, the idea that if the accountant goes up to $10,000 or $20,000 of work, then that's covered as part of your annual fee.
Right.
And then you've got the ASIC renewals in terms of I don't know the fee off the top of my head, $280 or something every year that people miss or people
get your fee paid details and go into, and if they forget it, and then the fine is extraordinarily large compared to the underlying cost that you forgot to pay.
Yep.
So yeah, we've got two solutions. On the audit insurance side, we actually don't. What we've got is what ASIC calls a prepaid compliance service. So we're the only ones with that intellectual property in Australia whereby we allow the firm to move away from selling a product to selling a service, effectively giving their clients the same undertaking that if there's an audit or review, then they will do the work for them. But the difference is that in that instance, the accounting firm gets to keep all of that service premium instead of needing to go to an underwriter.
I'm right. Insurer. Okay. Yep. Yeah. Yep. Excellent.
And that's going really, really well. It's very successful.
And on the core business in its own right, the accounts receivable, the feedback that you've got over the course, the little while from the accountants, the processes. I'm sure everyone has different processes and procedures, but you've managed to try and simplify that a little bit to the best of your ability.
That's really insightful of you, actually, because that I make that joke often. I sit down with a firm and we do have an onboarding process, and I often joke with them to say, how is it that the same industry can have 1,000 different ways of doing exactly the same thing? So you're so right. And so, yeah, what we've done is we've built a set of tools which systematize a lot of that accounts receivable functionality. And we've had a lot of applied feedback. So yes, we had, as I mentioned, there was multiple pivots along the way, but we started with a thought and we built the initial system to do this thing we imagined would be helpful. But since then, all these years of applied feedback, now find us in a place where we have honed it, refined it, and it's very much fit for purpose, both here and overseas, because we are now quite successful. We have clients around the world. So plainly, those learnings we've had have been taken on board and have created something useful to our client base.
Let's just talk about that overseas thing for a second. You mentioned there in terms of the business being founded, it's founded in Australia, is that right?
In Australia, specifically Adelaide. That's where we all our staff are.
Yep, excellent. And then the idea of like, how can we take this to a global? I mean, it's not as just easier said than done just to go to North America or another market with different jurisdictions and legislation, etc. Can you talk about that process and how you've been successful in doing
Absolutely.
That?
Absolutely. Yeah, and in many ways we've been fortunate. We've had our clients being very positive about us. So essentially, we were very much only in Australia initially, but we've got some big accounting practices and that use us. And you've got PKF, Pitcher Partners. They're sort of large firms, and these firms have relationships around the world. And it was really those relationships that brought this all to fruition, whereby those, for instance, in England, found out about what we were doing here, and they reached out and said, "Well, this is very interesting. Could we also, take advantage of the things you've built overseas?" And so we then had to look into that. And of course, there was legislative changes and different payment rails and a whole bunch of complexity. So as you say, it wasn't easy. But nonetheless, if nothing else, at least we had a somewhat of a captive audience interested in what we were doing. And so they were willing enough and nice enough to realize that, hey, this is the first time we're doing it. Bear with us, but we are keen to do it. Yeah. And so the very first clients we had overseas were in the UK. Then we went to Canada, and finally now we are live in the US as well. So that was actually how we did it.
Right. And then honing in on that US, and the part of the reason why we're doing this interview is that you got accepted into a recent program. I think it's called the FinTech New York Landing Pad program, or is it the New York FinTech Landing Pad?
It's an Australian Trade and Investment Commission, Austrade initiative.
Great.
And they call it the New York FinTech Landing Pad. That's right.
And let's just go. What was the program? How did it all go? And what was the process?
Well, we consider ourselves super fortunate to be chosen. There were seven companies that were in this particular group. Now, I believe this was the fourth time they ran it, and normally it's a 2-week program. This time they've compressed it to 6 days. And so we were chosen for that. And the idea was that you go over and you spend time. And Austrade had hired an external advisor called Weave Acceleration, which is a New York-based accelerating hub that had the program already running. So they've done it with many, many companies from around the world, not just Australians. So they really understood what do you need to do in order to be successful in the US. And so Weave was who ran it. And it was a 6-day exciting. I have to say it was designed for companies that are thinking about going to the US, but maybe not necessarily there yet, because the idea was that you could find things you need to be aware of, such as cultural differences, managing pricing, managing your marketing, what are the legal and, I guess, regulatory differences. So it was very useful for those companies that are considering doing this. We, as I mentioned, are already live there, and we had some of that already bedded down. But nonetheless, it was a super, super exciting week. The way it worked is generally we had mornings, we had structured sort of environments where professionals would come in and talk to us, and that could be lawyers, VC funders, and anyone with special skills to tell us what's different between the two environments. And then we also had mentors assigned who sat down with us, and also had residents who essentially were tasked with trying to find a deeper connection between us and their connections. So that went really well.
Excellent. And then through that, I mean, 6 days is jam-packed
No, that's right. It was a really busy period. And given that I just landed the day before, I had jet lag for 3 or 4 of those. It was difficult.
Right. Yeah. And then from that point of view, I mean, like the last couple of years, we haven't been able to travel over overseas, really broadly speaking, to actually go to the financial hub of the world, really, in New York, with other Australian fintechs. I mean, how important was that human interaction and that networking ability, you know, being in a different city outside of Australia?
It was very, very helpful. And for us, I think it's necessary. So for instance, I mentioned that we already have live clients in the US remotely.
So Gabor, sorry, you're just cutting out a little bit there, mate. Sorry.
And we talked to the... Sure. That's all right. I'll keep talking and let me know.
You're back on. Sorry, man. I don't know what happened there. Maybe a glitch in the internet.
Okay. Yeah, possibly. You never know. What I was mentioning was that around the idea of seeing people face to face, it's particularly important. Yes, we've managed to successfully get clients in the US and we are growing, but it became very obvious that when we were talking to people who are there, that you really need to demonstrate that your undertaking is to build your enterprise out in the US, have people on the ground, you know, be able to be there. And let's be honest, from a sales point of view, you really need to be able to look into the whites of people's eyes and sometimes break bread and just really get a sense around the trust, right?
Absolutely. I think that's very important. I think it's more so... there's always been a couple of year gaps. I've been people come now. It's like, well, this is let's actually sit down and break bread. As you mentioned, the final few days or the final days, there was, I believe, a pitch event or a demo day. How did you go and how did your company go in terms of preparing for that and getting through all that?
It was good fun. And, you know, we had a couple of highlights. That was one of them for me. It was a full day event whereby we got a lot of coaching. So we all had our pitch decks and we were all given 3 minutes of pitching and then 5 minutes of questions. And, you know, invariably all of us turned up with enough slides for half an hour.
So, 3 minutes is a bit harsh, don't you think? 3 minutes. I mean, it's like
3 minutes is harsh.
An elevator pitch is 30 seconds, but then 3 minutes is sort of like a long elevator pitch.
It was that, and we had some marketing specialists in the room, so we all ran through our first initial run through, and they gave us some very honest feedback around what we needed to do, and that was really good because it helped us really be on point at the night. So at the night, it was in the SAP tower in the Hudson Yards, which is a brand new building. We were up on the 50th floor. It was really, really quite special. Roughly 100 plus people in the room.
Wow.
All there. There was collaborators. There was the mentors, as I mentioned, but there was also investors and just generally people interested in what is coming out of Australia and what's coming to their shores. And so each of us had our bit. We set our, as you say, 3 minutes extended elevator pitch. And then we also had questions. And after that and beforehand, there was quite a lot of networking. There was drinks. There was some snacks. And it was a really fun night. And day.
And how did you feel at the end of the pitch? Did you feel like there's a weight off your shoulder, or did you feel like really pumped up or enthused?
Yeah, I was very enthused and I was really excited. I do enjoy presenting. I've never done a 3 minute pitch, as it was really quite. I think all of us were really under pressure to make sure we did it right, and I think we all did. But at the end of it, it was great. We had some beers and with the people who joined us. And again, I met a few people and I'm now having some conversations around the embedded side of the people I've met.
So two final questions.
Really, really.
Yeah, so two final questions on that. One is the Australian fintech community Australia represent in New York. How do you feel that Australia did and where we're at as a nation when it comes to fintech?
Yeah, I think it's interesting. I've reflected on this because I was thinking about us as a business and how, yes, we've got a successful business in Australia, but really, I think from one, when we built something, we're already thinking, well, yes, is it big enough? Where can we go with it? Where can we export it to? We need to go outside of our shores. I think from our point of view, that's the way we build things, as in we want to build something here, get it right, and then export it. When they build something, they're quite happy to just build it for their own market. They don't really need to think about initially about how they build it. So I think the scale of the fintech environment and just the scale of the US is huge. And, you know, one of the VC's funds I met with there, they said, well, you know, if you're looking to raise money in fintech, you need to be in New York, because almost everyone who's in the environment is statement to be New York. Just make it fairly simple for us to interact. And I think we come to our commercial agreement, we're very similar. There is obviously differences in scale, so that's something we have to get used to. And one of those I think that's important is that I mentioned to you that in Australia we have multiple verticals and solutions we sell. Well, I think initially it's absolutely fine for us to just focus on one of those verticals, which we are, because in itself it's sufficiently deep to give us plenty of, you know, opportunity and work going forward. We don't necessarily have to go and try and do everything for everyone.
And then the final question about your business and why you're excited about the next 12 months, 24 months in your business.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. We will continue to grow in Australia, and we will continue to build out solutions that our clients want. But now that we have clients in the UK, Canada, and US, we feel that it is very much time for us to take some of these learnings we've had. And you know, something I'm super proud of is that at the start of this year, by way of example, US was our final landing for our business. We had no US clients at all. So our very first client was in February 2022 in the US. And since then, we have now signed up clients in the particular vertical we're working, which is the accounting sphere. We now have roughly $1 billion worth of invoices going through our collections platform, which is really extraordinary in scale, given that we hadn't even landed in the place yet. And this was our first visit there. So I think for us, it's now about focusing on the really great commercial agreements we have with our platforms that we connect to, focusing on listening to making sure that we change our system to be very much fit for purpose in those geographical locations, and then continue to grow, look to hire people on the ground, both sales and operational, and just keep building the business out in all of those jurisdictions, but in particular the US.
Fantastic. That's a really good summary to finish on in terms of an Australian or Adelaide-based business that is now going global with a focus on the US. And I'm sure that New York landing pad, accelerator, six-day whirlwind trip would have made a lot of connections, a lot of inputs, and a lot of learnings for you to continue to enter that market and also play very strongly in that market moving forward. Gabor, thank you so much for your time today. Very much appreciate it, and really look forward to catching up and following the progress.
Perfect. And I really do appreciate your time too, Chris. Thank you.
Listen to the Unfunded podcast, brought to you by the Day One Network and hosted by me, tech writer Joan Westenberg. We're sharing the no-holds-barred untold stories from entrepreneurs who have decided to build a business on their terms. I'll be interviewing successful founders and operators on the grit and ingenuity it takes to build and scale independent startups without the support of traditional venture capital funding. Subscribe to the Unfunded podcast now, wherever you get your podcasts.